Chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker joins me now.
From across the nation.
What is the number one issue for you?
To the national stage.
And I welcome you to the final 2020 presidential debate.
When critical votes were counted.
Still too close to call.
And when power was held to account.
Is abuse of power an impeachable offense?
Kristen Welker met the moment. Now she joins Meet the Press as its new moderator.
If it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press.
Sundays on NBC.
Throughout history, electricity has inspired some pretty incredible inventions, like smartphones and those little robot vacuums people name like pets. But of all the great things, nothing compares to the Hyundai Ioniq 5. 100% electric, two-way charging capability, and up to a 300-mile range. The Hyundai Ioniq 5, your journey at its most evolved. 2023 Ioniq 5 is available at select dealers in select states only. Contact your Hyundai dealer for availability details. The Ioniq 5 SESEL and limited rear-wheel drive models EPA estimated 303-mile driving range is based on a fully charged battery. Your actual range will vary.
Hit play and feel the real with Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra Earbuds. Breakthrough immersive audio makes all your music feel more natural than ever by taking it out of your head and placing it just in front of you. Like listening without wearing earbuds at all. And the high-fidelity audio and world-class noise cancellation are tailored to your ears only. So everything's personalized and hits just as it should. Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra Earbuds. Dive in deeper at Bose.com/iHeart.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, and we tell stories about everything here on this show, from the arts to sports, and from business to history, and everything in between, including your stories. Send them to OurAmericanStories.com. They're some of our favorites. Overcoming physical tragedy is no small task, and it's important to hear stories of those that live everyday life well and beautifully with a handicap. Today we have Hayden Perkins' story. Hayden lives here in Oxford with his wife, Jessica, his three college-age sons, and four-year-old daughter. Here's Hayden.
I'm a pediatric dentist, so I went to a couple of extra years, two extra years of training after dental school. And then I went through the whole board certification and stuff like that, so I'm board certified. I grew up in a little small town, little small farm town called Hollandale, Mississippi, over in the Delta. One of my earliest memories was my dad. There's an old cemetery on Lake Washington outside of Glen Island where I pretty much grew up out there. My grandparents owned a lot of farmland around there, and so we were on Lake Washington. My dad's aunts both lived on Lake Washington. His mother died during childbirth. So his aunts basically raised him, and so they lived out there, and so he took care of them, you know, as he got older. But when I was like maybe like 18 months old, his father died. And I remember I probably like 2.5 or 3, but being at the cemetery and, you know, throwing a ball or something like that, and then him hugging me and crying. And that was probably like probably the earliest memory. My mom was kind of the disciplinarian. She was very, very tough. We didn't have like big family discussions and things like that, but we were close enough to where, you know, if we were having a problem, you know, my parents were just working and busy. But certainly later in life, you know, after I got hurt and things like that, that definitely helped me open up to them a lot more, you know, about things. I was 15 years old. It was November 9th, 1991. And I'm just sitting in the living room or something, and my best friend, Jessica Sullivan, she had this little mutt dog named Rascal, and it didn't have any hair. I mean, it probably should have been put down years before all this happened, but her dad was a farmer, and he found it running around the farm one day and brought it home. One problem it had seizures all the time. And so she called me crying, freaking out. Rascal's having a seizure. Can you take me to the vet? I'm like, yeah, I'll come get you. So she didn't have her license yet. So I went and got her and dropped her off. We went to the vet, and then her boyfriend, his name was Duke McCory, dropped her off at her boyfriend's house. I headed home, and I stopped in Wayside, got some gas and some chips or something, and I think that's when I remember I didn't put my seatbelt back on. And I was driving a Mitsubishi Montero. It was kind of a newer vehicle, kind of the new thing Mitsubishi was putting out. It was an SUV, but they were real tall and boxy. It was kind of overcast, real windy. I got about 4 or 5 miles down the road, and I think I reached down to change the radio station or something, and a big gust of wind hit me and blew me off the road. And when I tried to come back on, there was a big lip when I tried to come back on, and they think the front tire blew out or it just caught, and so I just turned sideways and just started flipping, and I went out the windshield, bounced down the road a couple hundred yards, and ended up in a ditch. There was a vehicle coming towards me that stopped, and then just by some miracle, there was a sheriff about 2 miles behind me, and he started out as an EMT. And so when they found me, I was in a ditch. My body was completely contorted and twisted. And I wasn't breathing because of my diaphragm. I mean, you can't breathe like that. And he told the other guy to grab my legs, and he grabbed my shoulders, and they just wrenched me back. And as soon as they did, they said, I started breathing. And I kind of came to, and I was kind of in and out, you know, laying there. But I did remember sitting up, you know, and then realizing, you know, and trying to just get up and realizing, you know, I couldn't move my legs. And so I just laid back down. They ended up taking me to the hospital in Greenville, and then transport me to Jackson. You know, you go through a denial stage for a while, and the doctors don't want to tell you, you know, it's 100%, it's permanent, it's, you know, you're never going to walk again, you know, so they always try to give you some good things. And there are people that get hurt, and 6 months after and a year after, you know, they start getting, you know, movement and feeling back and stuff. But so there was always that hope, that prayer, like, please let me start feeling, let me start walking. You know, it was probably a couple of years before I gave up on that. It was tough in the sense that, you know, you're 15. I think I was more embarrassed about being in a wheelchair. I mean, I remember my parents taking me back to school, you know, about my first day going back to school. It was just tough.
And you can only imagine what that must be like. And we love telling these stories because you hear them right from the person themselves. And I know Hayden, he's my daughter's dentist, and he doesn't know it, but the guy's one of my heroes, the way he's lived his life. And when we come back, we'll continue with Hayden Perkins' story after these messages. This is Our American Stories. Folks, if you love the great American stories we tell and love America like we do, we're asking you to become a part of the Our American Stories family. If you agree that America is a good and great country, please make a donation. A monthly gift of $17.76 is fast becoming a favorite option for supporters. Go to OurAmericanStories.com now and go to the donate button and help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Hey, this is Lance Bass from Frosted Tips. So my husband Michael and I just took an amazing road trip to the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas. And thanks to Hyundai, we were able to record a special episode just for you guys along the way. We're so excited to take you on this journey with us. You're not going to want to miss this one, right, babe?
No, you won't.
Here's a quick preview. You can listen now wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, I love memory lane. God. Let's go down it.
Take us back to the NSYNC tour bus days.
Look, I loved being on the tour bus. I don't sleep better than when I'm on a bus. And then your friends get to join you on the road and family. That was always fun. Because especially during the height of NSYNC, my friends were in college. So they would jump on the road with us a few dates and have the best time ever. But I also had to share a bus with Joey Fatone. But the good thing is eventually when we made it,
yeah,
we had a bus that had a shower on it. This episode is brought to you by the all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6.
Hey there, check out this news from Boost Infinite. You can now get the latest iPhone every year and unlimited wireless for just $60 a month. This includes the new iPhone 15 Pro. Now, just think about that. You get the latest iPhone, not just this year, every year. The Earth goes round the sun, you get the latest iPhone. And unlimited wireless from Boost Infinite. And free candy. No, no free candy. But, you know those people who always have the latest tech gizmo before everyone else? Now you could be one of those people without even trying. And when people ask you, is that the latest iPhone? You could just be all cool about it and say, oh, yeah, I mean, I get the latest one every year. You know, that's just how I roll. That can be you with Boost Infinite. Infinitely better. To learn more, visit BoostInfinite.com. That's BoostInfinite.com. Terms apply. After 30 gigabytes, service may be slowed. Receive a comparable iPhone model each year with an acceptable trade-in every year. Requires credit qualification and 36-month phone financing agreement.
Inspired by Ubisoft's famous video game series Assassin's Creed and its new game Assassin's Creed Mirage, Echoes of History Baghdad Soundwalks explores the streets of Baghdad during the golden age of the Abbasid Caliphate. Hosts Professor Ali Alomi of the Head on History podcast and Dina Hassanin will take you on a walk across the streets of 9th century Baghdad and dive into the lives of 10 historical characters featured in Assassin's Creed Mirage. New episodes weekly. Listen to Echoes of History, Baghdad Soundwalks on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we continue with Our American Stories, and we've been listening to Hayden Perkins' story. He's a pediatric dentist right here in Oxford, Mississippi, where we broadcast. We left off with Hayden telling us about his car accident that had led him to his life without the use of his legs. We return to Hayden.
You know, you're 15 and you're dating girls, and that part was kind of hard in the beginning, I guess. Now, you know, my support base was awesome. My friends were awesome. The school, everybody. I mean, you know, my friends never, you know, skipped a beat. They didn't allow me to not be involved and, you know, not do things. I mean, they'd just grab me and pick me up and throw me in the boat, you know, if we're going hunting. And, you know, that was a big help. Because it was just, you know, that first year or two, probably my freshman and sophomore year, where, you know, I just had a tough time. But something, I guess, just kind of clicked. And I basically was like, you know what, you can sit around feeling sorry for yourself and wishing, you know, what have been, you know, what could have been and whatever, or you can move on and make the best of it. I kind of did, and I never looked back, really. A lot of people can't get over it, can't get past things like that, and I was just able to. And I have people ask me all the time, you know, I guess hint around about, well, if you could change things, what would be? And honestly, I wouldn't go back and change it. It just, I think it kind of made me who I am. It's who I am. I'm, you know, Hayden Perkins. I'm the guy in the wheelchair. I mean, it just, I can't tell you the last time I thought about it. I mean, it's just the part of me. You know, I might, if I'm rolling around, I get, you know, my front wheel gets stuck on a rug or something, and I, you know, I kind of fall forward or something, you know, I might cuss and throw the rug around. But I don't think, you know, God, if it wasn't for the stupid wheelchair, if I wasn't in this wheelchair, I mean, that never comes into play. It's just a part of me. I don't see. It's like when I see somebody else in a wheelchair, I think that person's in a wheelchair. But I don't. I never see myself in a wheelchair. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. you know, like going back to, you know, if I could go back and change things, I wouldn't. I mean, I think it was part of what was supposed to happen. You know, didn't really care about my grades, and, you know, I was, you know, kind of the athlete and got most handsome and, you know, had the pretty girlfriend, and I don't think I was headed to a path to where I would be right now if it would not happen. I'm 100% convinced on that. I don't know where I'd be, but I know that for sure. And it made me, I think the whole injury and all of it helped to make me, I guess, maybe a fighter. I don't give up on things. I don't take no for an. If I get my head around something now, you know, I'm pretty darn determined. When I was started college, you know, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And, you know, I don't even remember who said it. It was like, well, you know, computer science and all that stuff was just kind of getting revved up, and you could, you know, make a lot of money, you know, and, you know, you can sit there, you can sit at a desk, you work on computers, it's perfect, and they make a lot of money. I was like, okay. So I started out in computer science, and I took my first calculus class and computer programming class, and I was like, yeah, no. And then I was home for something, and I had a dental appointment with my dentist in Greenville. You know, we got to talking. I don't think we talked about me being a dentist, but that was when I decided, you know, this is right up my alley. I like hanging around people and taking care of people, and at dentists pretty much sit down all day long. So I'm going to do that. And so I started, you know, I changed my major, and, you know, I had to really work hard, really had to study hard, you know, and I had people, well, you know, my parents even, well, I mean, you know, you need to have a backup plan. You know, what if you don't get in? And there was no backup plan. That's what I was going to do. And I was going to get in. It was summer break, so I was home for the summer. My friend, Jessica Sullivan, she, you know, always had a bunch of girls. One of them was Jessica Wood at the time. Anyway, and nobody had ever met her before. And I remember she coming out, and she had this little green dress on, and everybody was, and of course, you know, we're guys, we're all in the car, you know, golly, who's that? I don't know, I guess we kind of hit it off that night, and we ended up starting dating almost immediately after that. You know, I knew there were probably a lot of people in college that me being in a wheelchair kind of would have been, you know, a problem, would have been an issue, you know, for dating or marrying, or I don't think she ever saw it either. She'd never allow me to use it, you know, as an excuse, or I don't ever remember it even coming up and talking about it. So we got married in May of 1995. So I was a junior. She was a senior. So I was studying ecology one night, right? Because I had changed my major to biology and pre-med. And so we were studying, and she calls me and says, you know, I think I might be pregnant. And I was like, what? And I was like, I just remember being like, okay. All right. Not irritated that she was saying that she was pregnant, but I was like, she's not pregnant. And I'm irritated. I got to stop studying. I got to go to Walmart and get a pregnancy test and go over to her house. So went in Walmart, you know, and I'm, you know, of course, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like on that aisle looking and saying, so I get a pregnancy test, and I go over, and I'd gotten out of my wheelchair. I'm sitting on my couch. She, you know, goes to the bathroom, comes back, and she hands it to me, and it has a plus on it. And I remember us, it was the weirdest, I don't know, just a spontaneous response. We both just started dying out laughing. We just laughed hysterically. And then it kind of hit us. All right, well, what are we going to do? You know, there were a lot of stages in my life that got me kind of to where I am. And that was kind of, that was probably the next big one that really lit a fire under me and catapulted me, you know, to do even study even harder and do even better, because it was kind of real then. And it, you know, we say it all the time when we talk about it. I mean, it matured us probably. We grew up real, real fast. I think they were just kind of wake-up calls, being in a wheelchair or when I got hurt. And then, of course, you know, getting told that you're about to have a newborn baby and you're not married and you're in college, and it kind of changes things. You know, I think back on it now, and I'm just like, I don't know how the hell we did it, but we did. I think when you're younger like that, it's just different. Like, if I had to go back and do it all now at my age, I couldn't do it. But you're just kind of in survival mode, trying to get to that next step. You know, when I got in dental school, I mean, she got pregnant again. Spring of my freshman year of dental school, we had twins. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, God, how in the heck did you do dental school and, you know, you had a two-year-old and twin newborns, and we just did it. It was life. We were just, you know, working every day. Jessica was working, and I was basically had a full-time job with dental school, and you know, you just made time for your family when you could, and looking back on it, it was fine. It was not that, it didn't seem that bad.
And my goodness, what storytelling and what a voice. He talked about the fact that he could sit around feeling sorry for himself, wishing what might have been, or you can get on with things. When we come back, we continue the story of Hayden Perkins, a real life hero story here on Our American Stories.
Hyundai is back with the all-electric Ioniq 6. It has a range of up to 360 miles and can charge from 10% to 80% in as little as 18 minutes on a DC ultra-fast charger. But are there any drawbacks to the EV lifestyle? Yes, there are. You can unlock and start this car with a digital key, which means you're going to have to get rid of that giant keychain that holds a special place in your heart. You know, the one with every key in your life since high school. Lastly, gas station beef jerky. I'm talking about the shredded kind. Oh, no, wait, you can still get that. Yeah, scratch that one. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. When it comes to the minimal drawback electric vehicle lifestyle, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. 2023 Ioniq 6 is available in limited quantities and at select dealers in select states only. Contact your Hyundai dealer for availability details. EPA estimated 361-mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range RWD with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, check out this news from Boost Infinite. You can now get the latest iPhone every year and unlimited wireless for just $60 a month. This includes the new iPhone 15 Pro. Now, just think about that. You get the latest iPhone, not just this year, every year. The Earth goes round the sun, you get the latest iPhone. And unlimited wireless from Boost Infinite. And free candy. No, no free candy. But, you know those people who always have the latest tech gizmo before everyone else? Now you could be one of those people without even trying. And when people ask you, is that the latest iPhone? You could just be all cool about it and say, oh, yeah, I mean, I get the latest one every year. You know, that's just how I roll. That can be you with Boost Infinite, infinitely better. To learn more, visit BoostInfinite.com. That's BoostInfinite.com. Terms apply. After 30 gigabytes, service may be slowed. Receive a comparable iPhone model each year with an acceptable trade-in every year. Requires credit qualification and 36-month phone financing agreement.
Inspired by Ubisoft's famous video game series Assassin's Creed and its new game Assassin's Creed Mirage, Echoes of History Baghdad Soundwalks explores the streets of Baghdad during the golden age of the Abbasid Caliphate. Hosts Professor Ali Alomi of the Head on History podcast and Dina Hassani will take you on a walk across the streets of 9th century Baghdad and dive into the lives of 10 historical characters featured in Assassin's Creed Mirage. New episodes weekly. Listen to Echoes of History Baghdad Soundwalks on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
And we continue here with Our American Stories in our final segment of Hayden Perkins' story. He's a pediatric dentist that at the age of 15 was in a horrible accident that paralyzed him from the waist down. He married his wife Jessica in college and worked hard to become a pediatric dentist despite all the odds against him. Back to Hayden.
You can't be a victim. You know, that we see that a lot these days. And, you know, there's always an excuse that I can't do something or because of this or, you know, whether it's, you know, an injury or something that's gender-based or race-based or, you know, anything like that. You know, it's just you can do anything you put your mind to. You want to. I've raised the boys that way and push them. I don't try to be, but I think I'm probably a pretty good example of you can do whatever you want to do. You know, I had people tell me getting into dental school. I mean, I was, at the time, I didn't know there was, I know there was some concern with the admissions board about me being able to, there were some questions in the interviews, you know, not real direct, but I could kind of see that, you know, what they were about. All right, well, how's this gonna work? I mean, he can't use his feet. I mean, how's he gonna do the rheostat, you know, the little pedal that controls everything? And that's something that I knew that was how it worked, but I didn't think about it. I didn't care. We'll figure it out. You know, how's he gonna keep his hands clean? And, you know, just things like that. But I, you know, it's not something I ever really thought about or used, you know, as a roadblock. I just never even, it's just one of those things that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And we'll figure out how to make it work. You know, sometimes I'll go in the rooms and, you know, they'll be surprised. And sometimes they'll even say something. I remember several times, you know, going, like today I was in the operating room, and I'll go into the room to talk to the parents, you know, before we go back. And a lot of times the grandmama will be there. Well, the grandmama wasn't at the initial appointment. You know, I'll go busting up in there and, you know, and it's Susie and, you know, I'm talking to little Susie, you ready to get your teeth cleaned and brush and going through all the stuff. And I can see the grandmama just kind of almost a little confused. They're just surprised, you know, and I've had some of them ask, you know, I'll get to talking and, you know, she'll say, this is your dentist. The older people, I mean, they'll just ask you. I mean, they're not embarrassed to, you know, ask a question. And, you know, they're just a little surprised that, you know, and a lot of them think that it was that I was hurt after I went to dental school. It's a lot more shocking or surprising to them when, you know, I tell them, you know, I know I was hurt when I was 15 and, you know, and you still went to dental school? And like, yeah. I think that's a weird or strange observation that, or reaction that people have that, you know, if you're disabled or there's just certain things you can't do or it's expected that, you know, you're not going to achieve real big things or, you know, after I was hurt, you know, obviously I was depressed about, you know, a lot of things, but depressed that I couldn't do a lot of the things that I used to love doing, and, you know, football and, you know, different sports and golf. And I still miss golf. You know, I get sad when we're down at the beach and, you know, the boys are, you know, they love playing golf. There are things like that that I do, you know, when I say I don't ever think about it or I don't, there are things like that that I do. I don't know if they make me sad, but, well, maybe I do. Maybe I get sad that, you know, I wish I could do that with them. Now, you know, Aunt Hayden's 4, we're down at the beach. You know, I wish I could walk down the beach with her with the waves splashing and collect seashells. That's a specific thought, I guess, I've had, is going to the beach and not being able to play with her or go out into the water and hold her up and, you know, like all the other dads are doing. And anything that I can't do, if I run into it, you know, I might get a little sad or I think about it. You know, because I say, you know, if I put my mind to it, you can do anything. Well, there are limitations on that. Okay, I can't get up and run out into the water and hold my little girl up on the beach. There are things like that I might get a little emotional about or kind of sad about, but there are things that I do miss or maybe I miss out on that I wish I could do, but I don't lose sleep over it. Kind of think about it, but then I just move on. I do something different. Life is short, and I've gone through periods of my life after I got hurt where, you know, I was down about things. Maybe not my wheelchair, but you only got so much time here, and you gotta play with the hand you've been dealt. You just gotta pick yourself up and go. And that's what I've tried to do. And when I get down or, you know, worried about something or stressed about something, you know, I just try to remember, you know, how blessed I feel like I am to be where I am. Catch myself a lot of times saying, Hayden, really? I mean, you're worried about that? Look at how successful you've been. Look at how much, you know, God has blessed you, and you're worried about not having enough or wanting to do more or do this, you know. So you just gotta live life. That's all I can say. Lately, in the last couple of months, I've had like these anxiety stuff, you know, and did I do this right, or golly, I should have done this in the past, and why did I sell this? And I guess I'm middle aged. I worry about, am I gonna be able to keep going? Statistically, paraplegics, quadriplegics have a shorter lifespan. Not significantly, but it's, if you looked at statistics, you know, you just don't live as long. And the main reason for that is, you know, you have something going on and you don't know. A melanoma or something on your hip, or, you know, or some kind of bladder cancer, something that you would have some pain or something from, and you would go to your doctor about. I worry about that, you know, especially now I've got a little 4-year-old and I still want to be around. For the most part, they're irrational thoughts. It's things that you can't control. You know, it's things in the past that you did or you didn't do. Things in the future that you cannot control. I mean, I can't control if I leave here and I get on the highway and I get hit by a Mack truck. You know, you can't control that kind of stuff. So I think about that, like, why am I sitting here thinking about if I'm going to die at 62? I can do everything I can. I can go to the doctor every year or every 6 months and get a physical and do things earlier than most people say you should. So, you know, it's like a roller coaster for me. You know, I'm good. Like right now I'm talking about it and I'm good. And then I wake up at 2 a.m. having a panic attack. I'm working through it. I'm better. I'm good now. So it's just one of those, just another thing in life that's happening, I guess. Do as much as you can, and then you just got to give it to God and let it go. And then live. Life is too short.
The story of Hayden Perkins, his wife Jessica, his beautiful kids. A life well lived in a beautiful small town that we broadcast from, Oxford, Mississippi. That family story here on Our American Stories.
ABC Thursdays. The Bachelor is entering its golden era with the premiere of The Golden Bachelor. For the first time in the Bachelor franchise history, 72-year-old Gary Turner is setting out to prove it's never too late to fall in love again. Millions are swooning over The Golden Bachelor. The LA Times raves the series is a love story years in the making. Glamour magazine exclaims there's no expiration date on romance. This is must-see TV. The Golden Bachelor, new Thursdays on ABC and stream next day on Hulu.
Inspired by Ubisoft's famous video game series Assassin's Creed and its new game Assassin's Creed Mirage, Echoes of History Baghdad Soundwalks explores the streets of Baghdad during the golden age of the Abbasid Caliphate. Hosts Professor Ali Alomi of the Head on History podcast and Dina Hassani will take you on a walk across the streets of 9th century Baghdad and dive into the lives of 10 historical characters featured in Assassin's Creed Mirage. New episodes weekly. Listen to Echoes of History, Baghdad Soundwalks on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Upgrade your listening with Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra headphones. Breakthrough Bose immersive audio makes everything sound more natural than ever. World-class noise cancellation gets quieter than any Bose headphone yet. And the high-fidelity audio is tailored to your ears only. So highs hit harder, bass drops deeper, and you feel every note of the track. This is Leveled Up Listening. Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra Headphones. Dive in deeper at Bose.com/iHeart.